reporter asked Todd Bowles if the Bucks were prepared to play in the frigid Detroit weather when the Lions play in a dome, just like they have for 50 years, and that reporter probably wants a vacation.
Sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, but that's also what happens, you know, when you get towards playoff time is, you know, media outlets that haven't been there all season all of a sudden show up and, you know, everybody feels like they're the most important media member in the room and you're like, oh, I got this. I'm gonna get this great question and it's going to be played on NFL Network all day long. And that's what happens when you don't do your research, even the most basic
research. I don't think they ever played outside either because they used to play in the Pontiac Silverdome.
So that's what
they have always played in a dome.
That's what Todd Bowles said. Basically, as you know, it's been 50 years. So rough go. One to get away.
Yeah. It happened. There's worse things, but
I mean, it's all over my feed for the last 2 days.
Yeah, but it'll be gone tomorrow.
Okay. It's a tough 24 hours.
Yeah,
It's a tough 24 hours.
His friends are not going to forget that
one. Yeah, and that's funny. It's funny.
No. It's a little embarrassing.
It shouldn't ruin your life, though.
It depends how into sports he is. Nate, was this you? Was this you?
I make mistakes like this, dude. So
Nate's worried because he's going to be at the game on Saturday. That's what
And I will be asking stupid questions.
Yeah, Nate's getting worried.
So I'm being forced to do things.
So I'm sorry, Nate, but if the Niners lose on Saturday and obviously an incredibly disappointing loss.
You'll never see me again.
I feel like Nate would ask like just something that would just get, I don't know what exactly it would be, but it would be the wrong time, wrong place for that question.
Right, after a pick six to lose the game. So how do you think that pick six affected the game?
Would you call that a momentum swing?
Yeah, really stupid.
Can't start a joke.
And Nate, you literally said that would have been
you. You can't start a joke.
I feel for the guy because I would do something similar to that. But that's just playing the dumbest guy ever. That's going into the room
Booger
and just
McFarlane
being the
says
dumbest
stuff
idiot.
That's funny all the time.
I'm not Booger. My name's not Booger. My name is Nate.
You know what, Nate? It's okay here. It's okay. Devontae Wyatt. Defensive tackle for the Green Bay Packers. Nate's leaving. Devontae Wyatt, Green Bay Packers defensive tackle, had some interesting things to say about Brock Purdy. He said, when D linemen just get pressure into him, he's always throwing off or it's behind them or it's overthrown or short. When you get pressure on him, it's a guarantee we'll get a turnover. That was Devontae Wyatt, and Brock Purdy led the NFL this season in passer rating when pressured. So, and this was posted Matt Schneidman, who is a Green Bay Packers beat writer for The Athletic. And, you know, the gamesmanship in general, we were talking about sportsmanship last night and gamesmanship. Do you think a lot of it gets blown up now because of social media and because everything that gets said is now posted? And I know I'm not trying to only come at Niner fans, but Packers fans is all fans, right?
Sure.
Well, this person said this, this person said that. Do you think it's affected, I guess, just how we hear and how we see trash talking or just talking before the game? I mean, the soundbite is a soundbite.
Right.
Right. But now it's all over the place. And does this make a bulletin board that maybe wouldn't have made the bulletin board? I don't know. I just feel like everything gets so overblown now with social media.
No, I mean, I wonder the same thing. I don't know. I've been trying to figure out if this is a dumb question or not. So maybe here, Nate, I'll be the dummy here.
Yeah.
Here, Nate, come back in, Nate.
Yeah, Nate, you can come back. Let me
phrase that initially in a very interesting way that got me a little angry. I got a dumb question. Let's bring in the dumb guy.
Nate. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Let's bring in our dumb expert.
Let's bring in the dumb
our
expert.
Expert in all things dumb.
I feel
in
that's
a way that makes me smart.
Yeah.
It's an expert, nonetheless.
That's right.
Anyways, what I was going to say is I can't tell if it's worse now because now walk with me here for a second. Back in the day, like when newspapers and stuff were the, you know, that's pretty much the primary bulletin board material you're going to get. Maybe, I don't know, maybe on national news or something, someone makes national news. But
right.
Is it is it bigger because there's not that many outlets out there, and so if an outlet is mentioning you, it sticks out more? Or is it worse now because of the quantity of things you get? But I would also argue with how much there is, I would say it's probably easier to tune out, right? Because it all just kind of becomes noise.
Yeah.
Where maybe in the past it's just, it's the only thing being talked about, and so it feels all-consuming and maybe a little less to deal with. Like if Michael Jordan struggled for a month or something, there's going to be tons of articles written about it, tons of papers, everyone's saying, what's wrong with Mike? What's wrong with Mike? And it's all everybody, all three local channels are talking about it. Whereas now it's like almost literally your mom, your dad, me, Nate, you, we're all talking about it. LeBron's probably not even, it's not even remotely coming across his timeline.
But that's what cracks me up about everything in media now.
First off, is that dumb?
Was my question dumb?
Because I've been sitting on it for a while and I can't tell.
No, I think it could be both. I think it depends on what it is. I think it's hilarious when you have how many NBA writers and NBA media members who just posted. Now, I'll post reactions to the Pascal Siakam trade. If you're just tuning in, Pascal Siakam traded to the Pacers. It's done. It's over for now, meaning, you know, he's got to re-sign in July. But everybody, per Woj, Pascal traded. Per Woj, Pascal traded. Knowing that we all follow Woj. We all follow him.
Right.
So why do you feel like you, thank you, X, and I'm not coming at smaller media or not even just smaller media, because they could be other, you know, the Yahoo Sports guy, the Athletic Sports guy, per Woj, per, and I get it, you have to do it, but brother, sister, we all follow Woj.
Well, you mentioned it earlier, impressions, right?
Yeah.
You're making impressions with that. You sell your product with impressions. That's a number for your belt. If you can do something that easy, why not do it? It's like asking your stream for likes. Like, hey, like the stream, right? You know, it's so easy to do, and it pads your stats.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the Russell Westbrook of social media.
It is. Now, we're kind of getting off, to take it back to what Chris said and to bring it back to Devontae Wyatt and what he said. Yeah, it's tough because I think that there are more outlets. So maybe to get technical, maybe that soundbite never comes out because there's not as many people in the locker room back then and less people are getting interviewed. So to me, it feels like there's more now. Yeah. And I think it is a bigger deal now than it would be back then. Because I think that there are less storylines back then. Your argument about Michael Jordan probably is bigger,
but not
but it's
Luke
only
Longley
Michael
either.
Jordan.
Right. Exactly,
it's only Michael Jordan. That's what I would say. So it would have to be for certain people. So there you go. Thank you, Nate, for that as well. You know, I will say though, at about Niner fans, because we go back and forth about how I give Niner fans a hard time, just about not really Niner fans. I don't know if it's more so fans and content creators that just create their own universe of being disrespected, but on clicking on some of, you know, going through some of these Packers media members, and we're going to try to get somebody on before the game as well. Packer fans are kind of talking a lot of trash. So I will apologize because it happened so quick, honestly. So I'm not really apologizing because people were saying this the second the Cowboys lost, right? Now that it's been a couple days and I've actually seen some Packer fans really coming at Brock and saying the Packers really think they're going to take care of business here, and Packer fans feeling really confident, it's a little bit surprising to me.
Don't get it twisted. How much shady a lot of Packer fans.
There are, and it's a little bit surprising to me how much dip they have on their chip for a team in the Cowboys that we all felt like were pretty fraudulent. If the Cowboys had, I could see the Packer fans strutting around like Conor McGregor if the Cowboys beat the Niners.
Sure,
but the Cowboys got destroyed by the Niners.
That linear.
So
win.
What does that have to do with the fact that you beat the Cowboys? The Cowboys were going to lose to the Niners again if they did beat you.
Yeah, no, I don't get it, but it is kind of funny that, in a way, Packer fans, and I'm telling you, Packer fans are definitely Cowboy fans with better PR. Mm. Like, because there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
And they're really confident about their team. They always
They're owners.
Are.
They own the team.
You mm-hmm. dang right they do. I think that, you know, Packer fans are we don't really think about it that way, but I mean, these fools won the first couple Super Bowls there was. There is a ton of Packer fans out mm-hmm. there, probably as much as there are Niner fans. And, you know, it makes sense. They just got a really good win. They're feeling themselves. Go ahead and feel yourself. But I just don't think that this game's even going to be close. So they can talk all they want, but it's honestly it's not news when the wolf howls at the moon. It's news when the moon howls back. And so maybe if the Niners, you know, start to take the Packers a little bit more seriously, start talking trash, maybe I'll pay attention. But right now, it just feels like the Niners are looking at this like we're just going to take care of business on Sunday, and we're not even. You know, yes, we have to think about you because you're our next opponent, but we're not really stressed about what's going on.
Also, if you like the 49ers, Return of the Empire, 6 to 7 tonight, 49ers Insider, and me doing a little Niners show.
There you go. Getting to a break. When we get back, Anthony Slater writes how Keegan Murray is one of the untouchables. We'll explain it, and we'll break down the piece. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Horton's new lunch deal, simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal, only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
This is Sacktown Sports.
The Untouchables, starring De'Aaron Fox, starring Domas Sabonis, and starring Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray on that list, according to Anthony Slater.
Your guy.
My guy, Anthony Slater. Yeah. We go way back. What did Anthony have to say about Keegan?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, for those of you who didn't notice, the Mike Brown video that went super viral in Milwaukee was taken by Anthony Slater.
It was.
And that definitely got my antennas, you know, poking out. And I was like, what is Anthony Slater, not to do my Woj or my Windhorse fingers here, but what is Anthony Slater doing, who's Anthony Slater, as you know, covers the Warriors, has done great work covering the Warriors for years now. What is he doing in Milwaukee as the Kings are in the middle of their road trip right now?
Yeah.
Definitely made me feel like he was working on something, and apparently it was this Keegan Murray piece where he pretty much outlines the Kings view Keegan Murray about as close to untouchable as you can get. Of course, there are a couple exceptions out there, which we'll get to. But for the most part, the story is pretty much about how Keegan Murray is one of the Kings' core untouchables. He goes on to write, Murray's inclusion, I'm sorry, decision makers are convinced that they already employ their current and future top three, De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis, and Keegan Murray, a trio well-balanced in both age and position. Fox, 26, early in his prime point guard. Sabonis, about to turn 28, a mid-prime center. Keegan Murray, who's 23, who's pre-prime wing, who can play multiple spots between the older two. Murray's inclusion in that three-man foundation mixes the newest and most notable development. Talking about Pascal Siakam here, saying that the Kings relayed that message to Pascal and the Raptors, saying any team that the Kings or that call on the Kings in the next few weeks in an attempt to involve Murray in trade conversations will hear the same thing. No, period. There isn't anyone realistically on the market who would entice the Kings general manager, Monty McNair, to move off Murray, making him essentially untouchable. There's desire for sustainability and admiration for here. This is interesting, and we just talked about this in the Kings round table. Anthony Slater writes, there's a desire for sustainability, an admiration for the Denver Nuggets' recent slow build to true contention. In conversations with several members of the Kings organization, it's clear how highly they view Murray as both current component and elevating member of the ultimate plan. They talk with the belief that they found a future star, not a piece to help them attract one. This is the last piece here. He writes, Murray can downsize or upsize between shooting guard and power forward. The Kings' range of trade options is still wide. It's why, to varying degrees, you hear them connected to Siakam, to Zach LaVine, to Jeremy Grant, and Kyle Kuzma. Without concern, it'd be negative. It would negatively impact or overlap Keegan Murray. They just don't want to make moves that involve Keegan Murray really moving out of the core three, three and a half. Which is kind of, I mean, it's a version of what we know, but this is now just on paper, concrete. We're pretty much seeing the Kings aren't moving Keegan Murray unless something absolutely spectacular comes along.
Right, and Pascal Siakam was not seen as that Pascal Siakam on his way to Indiana to join Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner. So, yeah, Keegan Murray, an untouchable for now.
Yeah.
Okay, and I would say for now, really all three of them, to be completely honest with you. I think De'Aaron has the longest leash, if you will, and he's really what they want to focus around. But we've had conversations about Sabonis and really how these guys stack up as a duo.
Yeah.
And now you have Keegan Murray, who they want to add to that trio. And you, look, it's not the same situation as Halliburton, but they don't want to see young talent go. Right. They're really happy. And again, it's the closest thing they have. I don't think Keegan is not athletic, but he's not one of these hyper athletic dudes out here, but he's
not Anthony Edwards.
No, or any of these other wings, but he's the closest thing they have to that.
Yeah.
And he can shoot better than all the aforementioned guys. So that's really his bag. They want a guy who can 3-and-D and be an offensive threat. And really that piece that they're missing. You have De'Aaron who's gonna drive, and De'Aaron who's gonna shoot these threes now. You have Sabonis on the inside. Keegan is that third piece. I think to that and to a lot of people and a lot of fans that might be wanting the Kings to go something now. Yeah, let's just call it how it is. That's not a move for this year. That's a move for the future. Keegan Murray is not going to be an elite three option this year. The hope is that he gets there this year. Right. We've called it the caterpillar year, right? This is the caterpillar year for Keegan Murray, and hopefully next season you get a butterfly, maybe even the season after that, but you get closer to it.
Yeah.
So that's another reason to say, hey, guys, let's not forget here, you haven't been in the playoffs for a while. They're not going to throw everything out the window to try to make a run where the West is a mess anyway. They're probably happy. They're not going to say this out loud, but they're probably happy being in the dance and seeing what happens. They could get hot. They could get hot, right? That's what they can always say. We're in the playoffs. How are you going to say we don't have a chance, right? But they're not going to do anything to mortgage their future.
Yeah.
And like we said, I wouldn't do it for Zach LaVine. They didn't do it for Pascal. He's now gone. Whoever, I mean, the other names that are left, there's
Grant
no point.
Grant and Kuzma are the other two that
I'm not doing it for Kuzma. Mm-hmm. I like Kuzma a lot. He's probably the one name.
Keegan for him, absolutely.
He's probably the one name that I'm really interested in left, right? But Keegan is staying put. It was going to be Pascal or bust, or maybe OG, which seems like so long ago. OG Anunoby.
Yeah,
I haven't even said that name on these airwaves,
right?
And it's been so nice. I don't want to think.
Well, now we're done talking about the Raptors.
I don't want to talk about the Raptors.
We're
anymore.
Done with Canada. This is no longer a world league. This is now just a strictly American league. We don't need to worry about Canada.
I'm on my health cleanse right now, but maybe during the break, maybe we'll order some poutine.
Sure.
Okay, to really just end it all and say thank you, Canada.
Appreciate it.
For everything. Thank you for the talks. Good luck out there. Be smooth.
Yeah.
But we got nothing for you.
666. That's really all I got. I mean, to me, the thing that I really think it speaks to where the Kings are at right now, and like I said, we've talked about it before, but the fact that Slater puts in there directly, the Kings' admiration for the Denver Nuggets' recent slow build to true contender. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's literally the slow build. That tells me that this team is not, I don't want to say being aggressive, but they're not looking out there, even though they're connected with the Zach LaVines, the Jeremy Grants, the Kyle Kuzmas. To me, those, more so the LaVine and the Siakam, that's more of, hey, like, if we can get a deal that we like, why shouldn't we at least throw an offer out there? I mean, yeah, our name can be in the pot. Doesn't necessarily mean we're the most aggressive one looking for it. I think they'll take a deal if one presents itself. But to me, that says this thing is probably going to be worked around the edges a lot sooner than they're going to try and, you know, throw somebody into that core. So I think, you know, like I said, we've been talking about that recently anyway, but I think that Nuggets mold, and Brendan went through the playoff success or lack thereof that Denver's gone through. That's probably more likely the route that the Kings will go, is they're just going to probably not HB, but at least the core four, at very least the core three that Slater's mentioning here of Fox, Sabonis, and Murray, they're going to keep those guys running around for the next couple years until they see an opportunity that presents itself, and they're probably going to hop on it. And I that's what I think. I think we'll know when Monty McNair really likes somebody, because right now we've seen them be, like I said, passive in trade negotiations, but we have not seen them be really aggressive and say, this is the guy that we feel like will take this thing over the top and we'll do whatever it takes to get him. So I think we're just kind of waiting for that moment. It doesn't seem like it's going to be this year. Who knows if it'll be next year? It could be the year after that.
Yeah. If anything, you know, this stretch, I think, has recalibrated a lot of people's thoughts, and running out of time. I'm going to keep doing the check, Chris. We're at January 17th.
Yep.
We are quickly approaching
2 weeks, 3 weeks.
I think it would be three weeks left.
3 weeks. Yeah. In 3 weeks and a day, it'll be the trade deadline.
Will they make a move? All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Kings talk. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
The collapse of the Kings last night. We're almost about ready to move forward. And they will not be going up against the new look Indiana Pacers. No Pascal Siakam tomorrow night. At least that's the report as of right now. It should be a very confusing game for the Pacers with everything going on with them. But they're on the good end of it, right? I think it would be, well, really both sides, okay? I think the Raptors are used to playing like this. They've been playing like this for the last 4 years. Right. So I think they'll be fine. But yeah, the Pacers in the midst of a road trip where they lost to the Jazz on Monday. So they have not played since Monday, oddly enough. And they are still on the road. They have the Kings tomorrow night. Then after that, they have a back-to-back with the Kings and the Blazers. Ooh. Maybe Pascal plays in that Blazers game. Then after that, on Sunday, they head to Arizona to take on the Suns. And then next week, and now I'm just looking at their schedule here. Next week, they get the Nuggets at home. And after that, they go Tuesday Nuggets. Man. Thursday Sixers. Ooh. So and then they play the Suns again. So they quite a run. They get a little break with the Grizzlies. Then after that, they get the Celtics and the Knicks.
And
so then the Kings again. So yeah, Pacers are on a bit of a stretch. Maybe this is why they decided to maybe make a move and hopefully make a run here. You know, the one thing I wanted to bring up with the Kings roundtable, but we've talked about it before, is you have to feel like Pascal is going to sign because, as we've mentioned, these deals never end in a championship the same year.
Right.
They never do.
Yeah.
They never do. So this idea of, oh, they want to sign. Is a pitcher in baseball, maybe. That, or a close, somebody. That's different. Basketball and an important piece. I know we'll see now with OG and the Knicks. I know the Knicks have kind of been rolling since they got OG. But a lot of times that big trade in season, now the Knicks tried to do it earlier, but that big trade in season
takes some time.
Assuming they wait, I mean, we're a couple weeks away from the trade deadline. Are those 3 weeks going to really make a difference? I don't know, right? I don't know. But the idea that the Pacers are, okay, we signed, now we're going to be a 2 seed or a 3 seed, I think you have to feel like you're going to sign this guy because that's really why you're making the trade. It ain't for this season.
No, but I'm telling you, there is potential here for I think this is probably the first time it's ever been uttered in the world's history, but there's chances for the Pacers to be this year's Lakers, where they kind of sneak into the playoffs,
but
they're not the team. They're not the seeding isn't a true indication of how talented that team is and what they're capable of. Because like I said, I still see Miles Turner and Buddy Hield on that team. And at the very least, I know Buddy Hield. There's no way Buddy Hield is going to make it past the trade deadline.
So you're saying they're not done.
There's another move that they can make, and I think that you can get a really good piece. I mean, Buddy's been someone who's been rumored to L.A. Can you get, even if it's D'Angelo Russell or you know, Rui Hachimura, anybody, I think you can still add some pieces to that team. And again, I think that even if it does, like you said, you give yourself this 3 weeks before the deadline to hopefully kind of give yourself some time to, like, that's the time where you can struggle, and then hopefully you can hit the ground running by the deadline. I think that there's potential for the Pacers to do something this year, but, I mean, I ultimately agree with you. Like, they're not winning a championship this year.
Where are the teams and I guess the sports where a team goes matters, right? Is it football the biggest one
where a player goes?
Yeah. Oh, well, they're not going to send him in division because these are two Eastern Conference teams, sure. And it seems like nobody really cares. Obviously, the Raptors are in a different place than the Pacers, right? It would be hard to see the Lakers doing business with the Kings, maybe. Maybe it matters more, hey, the conference doesn't matter if the two teams are in completely different positions.
Right, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, because you don't want to cross timelines. That's the worst thing you could do is have the move you made directly impact your season's success.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, to your point, I mean, I think probably... Because you're just saying in terms of, like, the teams thinking specifically about who we can and
like,
can't
make deals
with.
Like, I like Rui Hachimura.
With. Right.
Would the Lakers and Kings not do business because they're too close in timelines and they're both in the Western Conference?
You just got to make sure that you really like the deal.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is that you just, yeah, you can't ultimately make a deal that if it ends up launch. I mean, yeah, let's say the Kings say, hey, Lakers, let's switch. I don't know if the contracts work, but Rui Hachimura for Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. And you see Harrison Barnes, for whatever reason, takes the Lakers to this next level, and Rui, you know, is pretty much doing exactly what Harrison Barnes does anyway. So, you know, if you're the Kings, it's like, well, we just made our opponent significantly better, and we really, like, it didn't do anything for us. So, yeah, it feels like in the NBA you kind of have to be aware of also the situation you're sending him to. And a lot of times, to your point, you do see them saying, we cannot trade. I think Damian Lillard was somebody who the Blazers were like, we're not going to trade him in the Western
Which
Conference.
Is pretty funny because those timelines, Blazers,
don't
you're not on anybody.
Exactly.
That, come on.
Didn't make any sense.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, you see teams just in general care more about it because, you know, also, if, let's say, the Kings made the Tyrese Halliburton swap with the team, let's say the Suns, I mean, then you're going to have to see Tyrese Halliburton four times a year where, you know, yeah, if you trade Damian Lillard to the Milwaukee Bucks, you're only going to see him once at your house and then once at the other place. And, you know, I mean, as we've seen with Tyrese Halliburton here in Sacramento, you might even miss a couple years of even having that moment of he's back in the building and all the emotions are brought back up. So, yeah, it feels like the NBA, you got to kind of be cognizant of where you're shipping guys off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other situations. The Warriors last season, they traded with the Pistons at the deadline and they moved Wiseman, okay? And then they, which somehow the three-way, it got them GP2. Well, actually, that's an interesting one. The Blazers did trade the Warriors and give them back GP2.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then they go on and they send Jordan Poole off to Washington.
Right.
So, yeah, I think there's a lot of just across country, but I don't think it's as important as I would even say in football in general, right? Let's say the Bills lose. Let's say the Bills lose on this weekend to the Chiefs, right? And we know, you know, Diggs starts talking again and they're just sick of it, right? The Bills are just sick of it. Well, we know who needs a receiver, a number one wide receiver, is the Chiefs. There is no way. The Bills, I mean, the price tag would be out of this world for the Bills to even entertain it.
I don't even know what it would take because, I mean, at that point, you're trading off a guy who's going to your direct immediate competition.
Right.
Like, again, like
But not different division, though.
Yeah, but then you're potentially, I mean, the Chiefs and Bills have met how many times now in the play? Like, is this their third time already meeting? And so it's like, you know, I mean, and in a way, the Chiefs just had to deal with it with Tyreek Hill. I think it's a really risky move, but you got to kind of calculate it. And I mean, even at that time, the Dolphins were not the Dolphins they were now. So I just don't think you can. It's up to the GMs, but for the most part, I think you're not going to want to make teams that you're directly competing with better.
Right. And the same thing could be said about the Raiders, right? If it was Devontae or whatever it is. Now, I don't think the Raiders are on the same timeline. I don't think they're that far off. They did have a decent season. But, yeah, they're probably right on the fringe of, yeah, we're not tanking, okay? So we're not going to – Devontae can't go to the Chiefs, ultimately.
Right.
And there's also a part of it that's just the rivalry, right? Even if they weren't on the, let's say the Raiders were just in the dumpster, I think they would just feel like, no.
Absolutely.
There's
yeah.
no way. So there's a rivalry part of it, and I feel like rivalries are stronger in the NFL. There are a lot of NFL rivalries, whether it's in division or outside division. Like you said, Bills, Chiefs, I don't know if it's a rivalry, but they're very familiar with each other. So I think that's kind of the give and take with it. But yeah, Pascal Siakam staying in the Eastern Conference, going to Indiana, and just looking at the options for the Kings and kind of what's left. There are luckily a lot of Eastern Conference teams anyway that are the ones that are tanking. I just saw right. another report about the Bulls really wanting to offload their guys. So maybe Caruso comes back in the picture.
Way.
If you don't think that the Kings need a, and I saw another report about the Kings wanting a defensive minded guy. If you don't think the Kings have an issue at the big position, which we really didn't talk too much about the small ball situation yeah. with the Kings because they never should have been in that situation, but Suns went small ball, and Coach Mike Brown, I think, just wasn't sure what to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Very clear. Very
yeah,
clearly.
Yeah. Okay, no Sabonis, idea. Get off, anymore. And then actually this is not going to work. That is clearly something they did not
yeah.
see coming. So, yeah, we can break that down a little bit with Kevin Michael Whitey Gleason here at the break. But yeah, if you look at the other teams and what is available, I'm looking at, if you don't think they need another big, I'm looking at, if you got a Matisse Thybul and Caruso and you call it a day,
woo, I'm gonna be real happy. I'll
the
tell
problem
you
is you're losing shoot you would be losing shooting.
Right.
But
I'm okay with that. If
but
it's
you're only
in the
losing
name
shooting
of getting
in,
better defenders.
Yeah, you're only losing. Okay, I'm
you
just,
don't need to score as old, much if you're allowing the other team to score less.
Same old Herter, Davion, and HB. Yep. All three of those are gone, and you're getting back Matisse, and you're getting back Caruso.
Love it.
That's a hard nosed team now. You're grabbing your lunch pail.
That's a lot of guys to get rid of for just that return, but I think ultimately those are the two guys that would make me personally most happy.
It's the market right
rosters.
Now.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just, yeah. this is just what the market is right now. All right. Get into a break when we get back. Crosstalk with the Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Save big on all Fight Lighting smart home products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
More minutes with ya as we get you ready for the Drive, guys.
Well, you sound like you're really looking forward to it. 15 more minutes with ya.
15.
It's a marathon. You know that.
Everybody's kind of in that mood today, right?
Yeah.
Kings fans are like, ugh.
I was yawning in their ears
he
earlier.
Did.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he did.
I gave him a little countdown, a little behind the scenes here.
1 minute.
And I went, a minute. Yeah.
Whitey, are you happy to put to rest the Pascal Siakam conversations? Because Chris and I sure are.
Yeah, I heard you guys. I was waiting for your, memorial and the service and everything. That would have been very yeah. nice. It never really bothered me that much, except just the what bothered me was, and I think you tweeted about this. Somebody said something about Siakam, and you said, we knew that 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
that's what bothered me. It's just the same stuff, and yeah. people coming up with, Siakam says he will not commit to a franchise, or, mm-hmm. The Kings are offering Herter and Barnes.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Breaking news.
That's, yep.
So that bothers me, the same stuff over and over. But Otherwise, Siakam, I'm looking forward to seeing him play. And he won't be here tomorrow, right? So
he will not. Yeah.
Well, score!
Why do we've seen that movie before? We know that I know. Siakam not playing, Tyrese not playing.
This one's in the bag.
We know Nembhard, this doesn't matter. Nembhard masterclass incoming.
Oh, Ben Mathurin.
Yep.
Get ready for it. Mm-hmm. Come on, TJ McConnell, triple double. Are you kidding me?
TJ McConnell is going to eat. And yeah, you know, we spent a lot of this show deciding if we should recalibrate our expectations and from a fan perspective, what you should expect from the Kings for the rest of the season. Because I don't know if a big move is going to get made. They're running out of time here. And the names are the names, right? There's no new name.
Sure.
is going to show up. So if it wasn't enticing to you 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, why would it be enticing to you now? We know that Monty McNair is going to stand strong in his beliefs. So looking at this team for literally who is on the current roster, you just got to hope that they continue playing how they're playing, but just are able to close out games because that's just been the issue, closing out games in two different ways the last two nights. I think Kevin Huerter is playing with good intention and with good pace and with good energy. I think that they're close to figuring out something. And at this point, you get in the dance and you see what happens.
Here's an interesting factoid with the season halfway through here. Doesn't really have anything to do with the last two games. But it's interesting, I think, when you look at where the Kings are, where they were, where they hope to be. As we know, last year, their offensive rating was the highest ever, right? They set a record, 19.6. So not only number one, but like the best ever. Right now, you know how many teams have a higher offensive rating?
I believe it's seven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seven teams this year have a higher offensive rating right now than the Kings had for last year, which was the highest ever. So
it's like the Drew Brees records, right?
Kind of.
Yeah. Every year, someone's going to break them.
Well, Yeah. I mean, that's the way the league is trending. So what do you do then? And the Kings are, they're 14th right now.
That puts a lot of things into perspective when people, they were a third seed there. It's a year, man. And everybody's always getting better. That's just the bottom line, right? And you had a combination. It was a lesser version of, you can make the argument, a lesser version of the Warriors. Obviously, you didn't get a championship, but in 2022, you had career year from Andrew Wiggins, and you had what looks to be so far a career year from Jordan Poole, right? It was lightning in a bottle, and they rode it all the way to a championship. And
he likes to bring it back to the Warriors, doesn't he?
Well, it's just, you know, I'm just saying, it's two guys.
Nice,
it's two guys. Andrew Wiggins has not been anything like that since, okay? And Kevin Huerter, he had a great season last season. He has not been close to that this season. And Keegan Murray, rookie season, Keegan Murray's getting closer to that now. But it's a bunch of things. Fine. I won't take it to the Warriors. I can take it to the Giants. Just like Frankie brought up, that year, they won 107 games.
They won 107 games.
But they had, but it's how they did it. They had the most, I think, pinch hit home runs in the history of the league.
Right.
That's not scalable. You can't hang your hat on that.
Well,
right?
My fear is, and I was thinking of this coming in today, listening to you guys, my fear is that they put this team together before last season, and you know, I know it's a little different, but this team came together so quickly, they're already bumping up against their ceiling. Like, okay, we're as good as we can be, now what?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we didn't think you'd be this good this soon, but
they're
now,
ahead of schedule
okay, so
last
how
year.
Do you, now what do you do next? What's the move next? That's where I think they are right now. It's like, what are we going
to
do?
Well, they have to accept that last season, maybe their seeding was ahead of schedule. I think the jump that they made was legit, but I think that you can't operate in the space of we were a three seed. We have to do it. Forget it.
But you,
right?
How do you
forget
get better.
It.
No matter what your seeding is,
you have to get better.
Numbers are how does this team get better? That's
what
I think.
That's what I'm saying. They're just gonna have to play better.
All year long has been saying we have to be better defensively.
Yep.
That's where our potential growth is. And, you know, it's a struggle.
Who is?
They're bad.
They're really bad defense, especially watching Phoenix yesterday. I don't know about you guys, but I was watching that, especially that first half of Phoenix, and I was like, I think I actually tweeted it out. I thought the Kings had really bad defensive effort issues. I mean, there was In the first quarter, there was 2 to 3 possessions in which the Kings just had easy 4-on-5s. Like, Phoenix is a terrible defense, and I think you might have pointed it out yesterday. Their defensive rating is one behind the Kings. I think the Kings
one
are
in
16th.
Front. One,
one
I think,
in front.
I think the Suns are 16, the Kings are 17. Maybe it's vice versa,
right.
But they're right next to each other.
The fact that they're, I mean, it was insane to see, and I think it's you know, I think that this team, Whitey, I'm actually curious what you think. Do you think when you talk about them knocking on the ceiling or hitting their heads on the ceiling a bit, defensively, do you feel that's the case as well? Or do you feel like there is still some room to grow defensively? Because to me, if it is going to be this current group of guys, I don't think on the offensive end they can get much better than what we've seen, whether it be, you know, this stretch of games or last year. The key is, and what we haven't seen is this team capable of being, with the personnel they have, better than 15th?
Yeah, if I understand you right, to me it's semantics. Offensively,
sure,
they were really good, and so they reached their potential. Defensively, there's still a lot of room for improvement, but I don't know if they realistically have that much potential to be better.
Right.
I think so. I mean, yeah, to me it feels like they kind of are. I think the reasons why they struggle defensively, a lot of those reasons are because of the personnel. Like, I don't think they have the correct personnel to really be an elite defense. I think if they wanted to, they could maximize the defense and maximize the defensive effort, but I think you might also kind of lose who you are as a foundation of your – like, the Kings are an offensive juggernaut. That's the team when they're at their best, they're going to be scoring 130 points on a given night and hopefully, ideally, playing just good enough defense to win. I don't think that you can turn this – you can't change their spots. Like, I don't think you can turn this team into a defensive-minded team. I think you can make them better defensively, but I don't know if with how they're currently constructed, you can – win games on defense.
If Wade Wicks to the rescue, right?
Well,
somebody.
I mean, I guess. But yeah, if you're 17th, right, and you've already been better than last season, how much better, just like Jameis said, well, it was already 41-17, so I don't know how much worse it's going to get. I don't know how much better they're going to get. I mean, they're up, what, 6-7 spots from a year ago? They're 17th. Is this a roster that could be a top 10 defense? Is essentially what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think they can, I feel like they get to about 14, 15, between where they are, maybe a little bit better. I'll give them 2 more spots with this personnel. And that's basically it. We use the same comparisons all the time. A guy that is a, you know, if you are born and the first time you run a, you know, with after the growth spurt and all that stuff, first time you run a 40, you run a 5 flat. What's the fastest you could get to, right? With all the training and everything in the world, I feel like the fastest you could get to if you really try from a 5 flat is probably about a 4.7. And I think it's the same thing looking at this team defensively. If they, when they were just born, right, were probably about 19, they played bad last season, they're up now to 17. I give them about 2 more spots, and that's pretty much it. Got to get out of here. Thank you to the Sactown Sports Kings insiders. Thank you to Nate Littlefield as well, Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles. Thank you for listening to Stiles and Watkins. You have the Drive Guys with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper up next. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.